Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In hip-hop, it allows for a lot of raw expression. So everything that people would have wanted to say but could not have said in most other formats, hip-hop breaks those rules and allows you to just go on.
Welcome to Oxlang, an OPM podcast by the Philippine Daily Inquirer, powered by Puma Podcast. At ako po ang host nyo, si Tina Arcea Dumlao, business features editor ng Inquirer, na mahilig din lang talaga sa music, particularly OPM. In Oxlang, we have featured artists in soul, folk, rock, and pop. And this time, dadako naman tayo sa hip-hop. Ang hip-hop ay isang musical genre na nanggaling sa United States, particularly in New York City. And when I was growing up in the 1980s in high school, ang mga sikat noon ng mga rappers sa US ay Run-DMC and Sugar Hill Gang. It was also at the time when hip-hop was starting to expand its presence from the United States to the rest of the world, kasama na rin dito. And when it arrived here, ang mga naging exponent niya ay si Francis Magalona at Andrew E. But since then, of course, hip-hop, like any other genre, has evolved. And ngayon sa panahon na ng anak ko, ang naging sikat na ng hip-hop form ay battle rap. And when it comes to that, one name rises above others. And today in this episode, we're talking to rapper and founder of Flip Top, the biggest battle rap league in the country. Enigma is in the house. In battle rap, two or more MCs use lyrics and punchlines to brag about themselves and diss their opponent. They are judged based on their creativity and flow. With this format, Enigma started Flip Top in 2010. But he was first a fan of hip-hop and rap.
In my high school, Ateneo High School, it was literally a handful of hip-hop fans or enthusiasts back then. And most everyone was into rock music or whatever. That didn't really resonate with me, so I've always been inclined towards hip-hop, like as early as I can remember. I've been active in the scene since 2003, and I was really young back then. I was like 15 years old. Anyone who was involved in the scene back then knew that it was really a very niche thing in the sense that not too many venues would even accept hip-hop events out of fear of trouble or anything. So in the streets or in the hoods, they would normally have rap contests, which is an entirely different thing as well. It's just whoever has the best song, depending on the topic. So sometimes it's best religious rap or best political rap, that kind of thing. It was really just a handful of crews or groups. And yeah, so by the time 2010 came around, it was really myself hoping to see like this thing get bigger and better. Being aware of the talent pool available and trying to figure out how we could make it happen.
Enigma and his fellow MC started organizing battles, and soon, people were paying tickets to watch them.
Our first event was already mildly successful, so there was around 160 paying customers for the first event. I can't even remember our first ticket. It was probably around 150 or 200 pesos, something like that. Pre-pandemic, it really depends on the quality of the lineup, but our average would be around 450 to as high as 700 pesos.
At what point did you think to yourself, I think I'm onto something good here?
Well, honestly, I most likely had that feeling from the first event alone, because everyone, the atmosphere in the room was really, everyone was buzzing. Everyone was like, wow, like that was something new. That's something different. And it was, obviously it was good. But yeah, I guess maybe by around like the third or fourth event, when all of a sudden people were asking for autographs and pictures, then that's when it was really weird for us. Because a lot of us back then talaga, like, sanay kaming ano eh, hindi kami pinapansin eh. In fact, the stereotype of hip-hop from around the time I started, from 2003 upwards, was really, ganun, like a riffraff or jologs, magulo, gangster.
A decade later, Flip Top is considered one of the biggest rap battle leagues in the world.
We're probably north of 200. Mostly still Tagalog, but given the rise of Bisaya rapping MCs, like there are a lot of phrases and words that are pretty much understood by Tagalog audiences as well. Except, of course, when the Bisaya MC goes straight Bisaya, then we're all lost. So we haven't had English battles in like 6 years, maybe.
MCs found a home in Flip Top, but Enigma finds that the scene isn't limited to only diehard fans.
I think it's really more of just kids getting older and getting more and more access to things. So there's always like a new influx of fans that they end up preferring different styles of hip-hop, newer styles of hip-hop. But definitely, ever since the Flip Top era, it really drew a lot of outsiders, basically non-hip-hop people. So a lot of yuppies, even like old people, people from the provinces, even, you know, fishermen, farmers, like they were suddenly exposed to this art form. And yeah, I'd say with the Flip Top era, it's been pretty much just increasing every year. More and more non-hip-hop people are able to appreciate without prejudice and without stereotyping. A lot of people, and myself included, would like to think that Flip Top is responsible for like the resurgence or the maybe even like the major acceptance of hip-hop culture in the country nowadays.
As I said earlier, hip-hop and rap battles started in the United States, but Filipinos have found ways to embrace it and make it part of our culture.
In hip-hop, you're being a very verbally oriented art form more than every other genre. It allows for a lot of raw expression. So everything that people would have wanted to say but could not have said in most other formats, hip-hop breaks those rules and allows you to just go on and you can pretty much rant about anything. The Asaran culture is definitely inherent in Filipinos, so there's that. Given the super diverse culture of the Philippines, from socioeconomic to regional to linguistic, all of that is very well represented, and I think that's such a fitting term for hip-hop. It's really, yeah, representing your walk of life, your brand of humor, your values. In hip-hop, it's such a community thing because its roots are really in house parties in New York. It was about getting the community to come down, have a good time, and it evolved from that. Then the competitive aspect is definitely, it's also very hyper-competitive and hyper-egoistic or egotistic art form.
Who would you say was the first, like, a superstar battler that really drew the audience in?
Easy answer would be Looney. He was part of the second event, March 2010. So, but Looney was already a bit of a household name among hip-hop people.
Yeah, kasi you started kay Francis Magalona. That was before you, di ba?
Yep, yep.
I'm much older than you, but that was the rap I grew up with. But anong tingin mo doon, yung influence nila Francis Magalona? Kasi when we think of rap, at least in musical terms, sila yun eh. How would you characterize that?
Oh, well, they're definitely the pioneers, and if it weren't for them, none of us would be here. It's only difficult to answer in terms of the current transition of eras. There's an entire generation of kids who really don't care. I'm from the era where, like, you had to do your homework. You would be made fun of for not knowing, you know, so they don't have a tradition of really digging or time traveling anymore, so.
With that said, welcome to your crash course on Filipino hip-hop. And these are Enigma's 5 seminal tracks of the genre that everyone should know. Here's the first one.
Yo, Trace, they wanted us to wreck shop on this track, you know?
Number one would be from one of the oldest English rapping groups, Masterplan. Is it time?
Give me permission to begin with my mission. Should I go into somewhere? You know that's my decision. Just because the wisdom I created through a vision and the system that I use is integrated like addition.
It's English rap and it's a really good doorway. Believe it or not, there's a school of thought that they don't even listen to any English rap. That's a bit weird, and I always feel like it helps to like know the history and the traditions. So Masterplan, for its time, they're Phil-Americans, and their style was very old school and very flowy. A lot of emphasis on stylistics in the flow, in the delivery.
glad that I get ill, which is something I can't stand. Creating perfect harmony, that is the master plan. Like the man to the woman, or the ocean to the sand. That I see a lot when I visit my native land. Ran into a void, just to avoid the noise. Pumping up the brain, just as if I was a steroid.
And the second essential Pinoy hip-hop song is from someone a lot of us miss dearly.
Francis M's Man from Manila, I'd say, would be representative of what became to be known as nationalistic rap. I selected that song in particular because I really like the flows and the cadences that he delivered on it. This is as opposed to like Cold Summer Nights, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Francis M, but it's not exactly hip-hop, so maybe even his other music was really more of like fusion with rock and what he probably believed was like the more presentable way for hip-hop at the time. But it was definitely representative of the Philippines. The lyrics were very nationalistic. It was very accessible to the layman at the time. So, you know, even if you were not into music, if they would hear either Man from Manila or more popularly, maybe like Mga Kababayan Ko, it's something that they can get behind without knowing the, you know, the history and the musicality of like what hip-hop kind of is.
And the next one?
Number three would be Andrew E's Bastos Daw. Definitely one of the pioneers. If not for him, there wouldn't be a Filipino hip-hop scene, really. Despite like varying and contrasting sentiments nowadays about Andrew E and his camp back then, he's definitely one of the most integral pieces of Filipino hip-hop. Not just himself, but the record label that he put out back then, Dongalo Records, which really represented the street side of hip-hop. It's a struggle music. It's a product of inner city struggle from the States. So that, along with rebel music, really like those two sentiments put together, were really well represented by the Dongalo Records and their self-proclaimed genre of Tagalog rap. But I particularly love this song, Bastos Daw, because it was one of the first Filipino rap records that shot back at critics, pretty much. So, you know, it's Andrew E. Building his name with the beginnings of his career, and whatever criticism he might have received for his songs and his other songs, especially the more popular ones, were considered novelty rap at the time. But if you were really to dig into the albums, like every song that really didn't make the mainstream, I would say is like really hip-hop as hell, you know, like or actual rap.
Did this song come after Humanap Ka ng Pangit?
Yeah. He wasn't at his peak yet. And well, he's still peaking up to this day, really. But yeah, that song was really the first song to like fight back at the man. You guys are criticizing me for this and that, but this is what it is. So I feel like that should be in most people's, like, you know, integral songs.
The fourth one also has some choice words for the world around him.
Glock 9's Ayoko Na Sana, that or Isang Araw. It was really hard to pick between those two. Like, again, it was an era where he was already Glock 9, but not as big as he is today. when Glock came around, like, it was a noticeable step in evolution in terms of rapping with his rapid fire style. Ayoko na, tama na, pwede ba? Sige na, ayoko na, tama na, pwede ba? Sige na, ayoko na, tama na, pwede ba? Sige na, ayoko na, tama na, pwede ba? Sige na. Sawa-sawa na dahil wala akong trabaho. Sawa-sawa na dahil wala akong sinusweldo. Sawa-sawa na dahil wala magandang auto. Although he was already doing that as a member of the underground group Death Threat, who's also a pioneer group in Filipino hip-hop history, when he broke off and did his solo thing, this album and these songs in particular were experimental in terms of musicality, but the rapping was just like, he was really just rapping his ass off.
Were they a social commentary too? Because that's where he came from.
Not so much. It was really like when somebody points something out like that to me, I can't really share the sentiment only because I remember Glock from a different time. So he wasn't rapping always for social commentary at the time. A lot of rap is, again, like representative of your background. So it was very biographical and flexing in terms of the verbal acrobatics and all of that, the flows, the how many different ways you can rhyme a certain rhyme scheme, that kind of thing. And again, introducing himself, like, I am Glock 9 from Binangon and Rizal, and this is my life, this is what I've had to go through, and this is me, and these are my dreams. Pagod na naranasan, di ko na kaya dahil sawa na ako sa buhay, di ko na kaya minsay, gusto ko na mamatay. Di ko alam kung bakit, puro na lang pasahin. Di ko alam kung bakit, umihirap at galit. Di ko alam kung bakit, kahit ano may bakit. Di ko alam kung bakit, para na layo ng langit.
And finally, the fifth of Enigma's recommendations.
Before I answer that, would you mind if I just listed off my honorable mentions? Just
Go ahead, please.
I didn't want to leave it out there. But this first one, the only reason why it was left out is only because it's a lot closer to like modern times than everything else that I named. I feel like the song by Stick Figures, Ikaw Nga, from their album Critical Condition in 2004. That's definitely like another obvious, undeniable step in the evolution of rapping and rhyming, and what Looney and Ron Henley did there, especially in that song, and coupled with the instrumental, which was like super hip-hop sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd like to throw in Death Threat, Glock's former group. They had a really iconic song back then, Ilibing ng Buhay. The hook really is Ilibing ng Buhay ang mga sosyal, as it was an anti-socio-economic sentiment, which 98% of our population can relate with, really. And it was really supposed to be like a jab at all the more affluent balikbayans that were kind of lording the little hip-hop scene back then, no?
Mm-hmm.
And then another Death Threat song that featured Francis M. and Eli Buendia, Private Diane. The vibe of it, definitely like super hip-hop. The lyrics were mix of verbal dexterity, verbal acrobatics, style, different styles, and it was also, I'd say, representative of the sentiments back then when it comes to like the country's struggles.
Look for these songs wherever you get your music. Now back to our list. The fifth song that should be in every Pinoy's hip-hop playlist.
Number five would be from, I'd say these would be the pioneers of the subcategory, if you will, of underground hip-hop.
O yung nagtusan niya na paratingin sa inyo na kayo'y hinahamon niya sa isang labanang marangal.
It's by the group Pamilya Di Magiba, Duelo sa Puno.
Na kayo'y hinahamon niya sa isang labanang marangal.
When you say underground hip-hop, it refers to an inclination towards like more serious topics, like not much clowning around. It was definitely, it's not party hip-hop, it's not club hip-hop, it's not necessarily feel-good hip-hop, though people like me, like, I feel good when I listen to that.
Oh, no. Now you know Enigma's essential Filipino hip-hop songs. But maybe you're wondering, what does it take to become an MC? What do they need in their toolkit?
I'd say, like, do a lot of homework. Like, and by homework, I mean, yeah, like, time travel. Listen to these albums. Listen to what was considered classic albums of each year, of each region, of each style. Because it's not just so much that you know it, but, like, that you understand the whys of it, of, like, why does this sound like this as opposed to that? And why did this region sound like that? And why do they rap about different topics and that kind of thing? Next would be pick your favorite songs and rap along. Memorize the lyrics, rap along, and that way you practice your tongue, you practice cadences and rhythm and breath control. The better you get, keep picking harder and harder songs. Again, I'm from the school of thought that, like, I believe in, like, improving the sheer aspect of rapping itself, as opposed to nowadays, because a lot of mainstream hip-hop nowadays is, like, more concerned with, like, the vibe or the feel or of, like, having fun. It's not so much pushing the limits of the mechanics or pushing the limits of the conceptual aspect anymore. A lot of mainstream rappers right now, they really just focus on making non-hip-hop people feel good at a party, which is nothing wrong with that, but I always like to make the distinctions. Your toolkit would require a wide vocabulary as much as possible, you know, familiarizing oneself with, like, all forms of figurative language, really. And then your own style. This was really a big thing back then. Like, you would really be, like, booed out of a venue if you sounded like somebody else. Uniqueness and creativity was much, much more appreciated back then.
How about, curiosity? Do you think they should have that?
Yeah, that definitely would help, even just, like, how your take would be of a certain everyday thing, no? If I were to try to explain it to, like, really young kids, you can say in a sample rap, there is a man on the corner. But that's not enough. So you keep building on the image. Keep building on the story behind it. And if you can throw in many other techniques, like internal rhyming or multisyllabic rhyming or slant rhyming or double timing, triple timing, then, you know, you build on what was formerly the simple line of there is a man on the corner. So now, from there is a man on the corner, you can create an entire world, basically, from that.
And as each rapper built and described their worlds, they created a genre that continues to challenge our perception of how the world is and how it can change. And the interest in Filipino hip-hop continues to grow, as marked by Flip Top's 10th anniversary in 2020. Luckily, they had a celebration just in time before COVID hit.
We were able to hold the biggest Filipino hip-hop festival right before the pandemic hit. It was a two-day, three-stage event with over 200 artists from all around the country flown in, including international performers. So it was definitely a big dent in the pocket. And most organizers would be familiar with this, but, like, your first festival, you'd be lucky to break even. So that, along with the pandemic, definitely made it a bit harder for us. We had to tighten our belts. We had a lot of content to upload anyway, but our own running events, we had to stop it for around 2 months until we just hard-headedly proceeded with our events despite all, you know, restrictions.
Since live events are not allowed, has Flip Top seen a dip in viewership?
Our average is still pretty much the same. The viewership is still pretty much the same. We average around 19 million views per month. We've had months where we would peak at 32 million or something.
But when things do get better and everything opens up again, Enigma and the Flip Top crew are ready.
The moment we were allowed a venue and a sizable crowd, that would definitely change things. Currently, we do fly in, but just those needed for the tournament. And unfortunately, like, our Cebu fans and our Davao fans, they really miss us. Pre-pandemic, we average around 2 events per year in Cebu, in Davao, in Cavite, Pampanga. And now it's all Metro Manila. So we definitely miss the crowds, for sure. Everyone does. There's something in witnessing other people witness the spectacle when they see the crowds in our pre-pandemic videos, no? So currently, we have 2 one-on-one tournaments running simultaneously. We have a yearly tournament called the Isabuay Tournament. So last year's didn't push through. We made this year and last year's run at the same time. So that's 32 MCs all fighting for the top spot. And hopefully the champions of both years might even fight each other next year.
When is that?
The tournament runs year long. So it's a 16-man ladder match.
When's the grand final?
The finals usually culminate our year-ender event, which is normally a two-day spectacle named Ahon. So this year, yeah, both finals will be happening around December as well.
In case anyone is worried, Enigma says they follow safety protocols, including limiting the number of people in the event. For example, each MC is allowed to bring only one other person. So where do you see it going? Are you still optimistic? I'm sure the pandemic and the elections coming provide fodder for rap.
Yeah, definitely. It's just going to keep getting bigger and better. But at the same time, with every shift of an era, there's always a rift. So there's always a temporal rift, no, or like a generation rift between like old school people and new school people. I feel like that's also going to keep getting bigger and not necessarily better, but people are just going to keep fighting over that stuff instead of like digging deeper into both sides and then figuring out what you can take away from each, no? I wish they could understand the dedication it took to be hip-hop and having to fight for your place and fight for your voice and fight for something, you know, that was so new or so unaccepted. And now being able to see the fruits of the labor, no? I just wish, like, yeah, the younger generation would understand that.
Well, credit to you. Credit to you.
Thank you, thank you.
And that's it for the second season of Ox Lang. Ang Ox Lang ay isang podcast ng Philippine Daily Inquirer powered by Puma Podcast. This is our own way of increasing our own appreciation and knowledge of OPM. Thank you to today's guest, Enigma. And thank you to our other guests this season, Jazz Nicolas of Itchy Worms and Kat Agarado of Sino Sikat. At salamat din sa inyo ang aming mga tagapakinig at tagasubaybay. Once again, I'm your host, Tina Arceo Dumlao. Huwag kalimutang mag-subscribe sa Ox Lang on Spotify or wherever you listen and binge on all episodes of Seasons 1 and 2. I-share nyo na rin sa mga kaibigan nyo and please follow Inquirer Podcasts on Facebook and let us know who you want to have on the show. Hanggang sa susunod na season, mabuhay ang OPM!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.